round of applause. No.
I'm a grateful recovering addict, and I'm truly blessed. My name is Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
And I just want to thank my God, first of all, for just, you know, seeing me fit for this opportunity to give back what was so freely given to me. And, you know, when they said it was to share my story, like how I came and, you know, what happened and what it's like now, you know, and I was going to say, like, NA guru. I'm not the guru, but I respect Narcotics Anonymous because of the steps. It has, like, really saved my life. You know, when I came and I'm, like, sitting, and I'm saying, dang, where are the ladies? And I looked and I said, okay, there's two ladies sitting up the front. You know, and this is one of the diseases that, like, it's out to get us women. Yes, the men's, but women's, you know, because one of the things is, you know, for me, that I still had something that I could give up, you know, in order to keep a roof over my head. Okay, so I sat on the outside, and it's about being on the inside, you know. If it don't apply, don't let it fly type stuff, you know. But I got it by getting close, staying in front, you know. And for many years, I was in and out, you know, picking up white key tag. I thought it was like a joke. I didn't even think I could get clean because of all the stuff that they were telling me. I'm originally from Jamaica. Let me start off first. I'm originally from Jamaica. And that was another thing that kept me out even more, you know, like my mom brought us here to the United States. I was raised up in Chicago, where I lived 17 and a half years, you know, and, you know, it was always, I mean, from it all started way back before I even picked up the drugs. I understand about this nature of the disease. It started way back. You know, I started, like, I was sexually abused from the age of 2 on up. You know, and it was like, keep the secret type thing, you know, and I didn't understand. I thought it was like the way it's supposed to be, you know, and I came to the United States and these cousins still moved with us, you know, so I was being abused all the way then. And the shameful part about it was I thought it was a natural thing because I liked it, you know, and I didn't want to tell anybody I liked it. You know, so I was really embarrassed. And then I didn't know that, the, you know, all this stuff that, you know, about virginity. And when I was in sixth grade, and they had sex education class. And then the girls are talking about being a virgin and this and that. And I'm like, dang, something don't sound right. Something don't feel right. And I start going in a shell. You know, I was always a big girl, bigger than my age, you know, and I felt like that's why the people did what they did, because I looked older, you know, than my age. I didn't even have breasts. I just had fat. You know what I mean? So I don't know when I look back at all these things, you know, but, you know, when I picked up my first drug, it was that shame and that guilt that, you know, oh my God, this is not right. You know, and my sister explained what it was about being a virgin and whatnot, you know. And that's when I picked up my first drug, when I found out, like, oh, God, I don't have what these other girls had, you know. So I started stuffing, you know, start using food even more, you know, and I'm getting bigger and bigger. And I was the kind of child that, you know, kids used to call names like Magilla Gorilla, Auntie Mama, all this kind of stuff, you know, that they used to call me. And I never felt apart. You know, I used to steal money. I used to go have sex. I was tricking as a little girl. I'm there tricking with these men and stuff like that, getting money to buy candy because I wanted to feel so apart, you know. I wanted to feel pretty, you know, and it's like hearing all these things, it was like, you know, I can't even believe I've come to this far to be able to talk about these things and not be crying. I mean, I had snots all over the place where I could just grease my hair down, you know, when I first started talking about this stuff. And, you know, and that stuff, that shame and guilt, all that stuff followed me. And the only time I felt pretty is when I drank. When I drank, I was able to tell you about yourself. You know, I was able to hold my head up. You know, and then one thing led to another. And then the marijuana, because, you know, from Jamaica, Marijuana sure wasn't no drug, you know? You could not tell me that was a drug. I said, what, yes, sir? What? God put that there on earth for me for smoke, you know? So, you know, my accent gone a lot because I've been around so many different type of people, you know, especially when we up north in Chicago, this, I was all around, you know, I didn't even know about prejudice. You know, in Jamaica, we had Indians, Chinese, Jamaican, you know, and then it's like, when I came to Fort Florida, man, it was like, ooh, all this prejudice stuff went on, and it just shot the heck out of me, but that's a little later on. Anyway, so, you know, I went from one drug to the next, you know, and I did everything to try to feel a part, and there was always something missing. I thought I was a reject for real. I was the black sheep of the family. You know, I stole, I lied, I tricked, I did all sorts of crazy stuff. Because I was so miserable, I was so hurt inside, and I didn't know I was hurting, really. Tell you the truth, because I'm there steady putting something else, replacing it. When I stopped one thing, you know, it was something else. I was a, you know, human garbage can in a sense. And then how I got introduced to the rooms was I tried to commit suicide because I just thought it was like, this is how I did. I took a lot of pills because there was this like real fine guy that I was with, but he wasn't giving me enough attention. And I had this plan, but thank God I had a God that already had a plan for me and was going to watch out for me already, you know. He'd been taking care of me a long time, you know. And it's like, I say, okay, I'll take this pill and, you know, he'll come upstairs and rescue me. I was all in this lala fantasy land for many, many years, man. You know, all my friends had boyfriends and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, in Chicago, it's a lot of gangs. We were in gangs and stuff. I wasn't in the gang, but I was around them. I was too afraid. But I'll keep, you know, they'll give me their guns to hold, and I'll go put it in the garbage in the, you know, and get whatever marijuana, whatever drugs they were going to give me because they think that I'm holding their drugs, you know. And I go hide it in the bathroom. They say, okay, mama, let me get it, you know. And then I'll say, wait a minute, I got to use the bathroom. You know, go put it back like I was strapped all the time, you know. And I was a big chicken, man. I was so afraid, but I wanted to be so much a part, you know. And when I got high and when I got drunk, I drink to get drunk. You know, it was like unbelievable the way I was able to hold so much type of drugs, acid, angel dust, all that kind of stuff. You know, and like I said, I got introduced to this room by trying to commit the suicide and, you know, thinking that this man would come and rescue me. And it just so happened, yeah, the man happened to come to my house, you know, and came and was able to, like, get me to the hospital. And I was on there for, like, 3 days in the psych ward. You know, that was my first taste of psych ward, first and last, you know. But at the same time, I remember they used to bring the meetings in, you know, and they had AA, you know, of course, and they had a couple NA and stuff like that. And I just kept, you know, I liked it because they gave us coffee and cookies, you know, type stuff. I loved when they gave away all that stuff. But I was listening here and there, but like I said, I was on the outer skirt. I was just like, you know, still like, this ain't me. I ain't going to be able to get this. You know, I know what something was wrong with me. But I just didn't believe that it was gonna, I can get recovery because once they were talking about steps, you know, and I already knew I didn't know how to read. You know, I came into rooms reading in a third grade reading level, you know. And I act as if, I mean, I was type A, even when I was there tricking, I had suits in Chicago in the cachet case because I did not want to look like an addict, you know. I didn't want to look like what I thought an addict was, you know? So, you know, needless to say, you know, it took me a while to get an understanding of this. And it took me a while to understand that even when I came through in these rooms, because I was so in and out, I've been through different type of treatments, you know, and stuff like that. And it's not about, you know, this is my story. You know, I try to keep it as much as possible that NA, but that's where it rescued me. When I finally, you know, say enough is enough. I've been through Spectrum, you know, I've been through Bark, you know, their detox and all that kind of stuff. You know, I've thrown out my food out of the refrigerator, went back you know, because I spend all my money, went back in that garbage can, so my food didn't even make it out of the dumpster. You know, I was dumpster diving in my kitchen, you know, so I prayed. It took me to so many different places. You know, every time I kept on picking up, every time I left the treatment, you know, and I go and pick back up, it was 10 times worse because I wasn't listening, man. Because like I said, I did not believe that I could do it because of this step stuff. But thank God that he put somebody in my life, you know. And I got to this place where I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired of picking up the white key tag. I mean, I was taking back white key tag to my home group, the 12 o'clock meeting, you know. Taking it back. That's how much white key tag. I used to hang them on my earrings. I just thought it was a joke, you know, in a sense. Or to think that recovery is going to rub off on me if I display it. You know, like, you see some people, they have it displayed with them long colors, you know, say like, yeah, I'm in recovery, you know, and I say, type stuff. But, you know, that's why I say, when I introduce myself, I say I'm a grateful recovering addict and I'm truly blessed. I am truly blessed to finally come to that place that this is where it's at. You know, working them steps. I've been on a high. I've been on a pink cloud for the almost 14 years of this time that I've been around. You know, and it's like because of the things I got involved with, you know, getting that sponsor. I finally told a sponsor, you know what, I really don't know how to read. But first let me go about that last time when I got high. You know, I had 19 months clean, you know, and I went and got high. You know, because my daughter's father, you know, was down the street after all these years, you know, like about 3 or 4 years that I was there, you know, talking, visiting. He was in prison, blah, blah, whatnot, you know, sending money and all this kind of stuff, helping out. And he had his little juggle between me and somebody else. And they were able to have him in a hotel, in a car and whatnot. He was just like three blocks down at a hotel. And I was really hurt. And at that time, I wasn't really sticking around the meetings. You know, I was doing more church because, you know, I got into the Lord and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it was like I didn't have that network of people to tell them, like, you know, I feel like getting high or all that kind of stuff because, you know, I was in church and it's like, you know, you just pray oil and, you know, drop down, you know, type stuff. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody. I did tell one of the ladies that I used, and she said to me, well, you and God knows, and that's all that means. And I wanted to hear that. And I went on, and I ran back to the room of NA and started going to the meeting. And when it came up to, like, when I'm supposed to have the 2 years to pick up that medallia, I went and did it. I had somebody to give it to me. And at this meeting, that Saturday morning meeting, when they usually do, they usually have the clean time from 1 on up. And it was like 17 of us that month, you know, that was picking up. It was in the month of June. And they just happened to go from the highest to the lowest. So that means that I was like the second to last. And it's like, I'm like mad that they did that. But all the time I knew that I already used, but I didn't want to tell nobody. And I still went about, by the time it got to me, everybody went because it was like all about you guys seeing me pick up a key tag. It was that when they talk about that self-centeredness, you know, it was just show. So I kept that secret. And at that time, I may have had like about 4 months, you know. And then I start working some steps with a sponsor. And first step started bringing up honesty. And I couldn't sleep well because I knew I got high. And I just kept on just thinking, okay, God, me and you know, but I know when the program tells me that I got to tell somebody. You know, even in the Word of God, he said, to confess your sin one to another. So that's the same kind of method in here. You know, once I pick up, I've lost the clean time. That's all. You know? But I was trying to hang on. And it was like I got to my 6 months, you know, and I'm working those steps, that first step, and I'm spelling it. The sponsor told me to spell it the way it sounds to me because that's basically how I spell. And up till now, I still do like that, you know. And then I'll go to the dictionary and see how close I got, you know, and some might have to take off some letter and whatnot, you know. And it works for me, and I'm all right. You know, I was able to still complete the whole 12 step because of that one sponsor telling me. And there was one time too that I was there doing a step with another sponsor through the other fellowship, and I had to hand it in. And when she turned back that paper to me, I had all these red marks and stuff like that. I felt like a failure, man. You know, and that's when I told that sponsor about that. And she said, no, you don't pass no step work in. You read what you want to read off of there. You know, and I was like, really? Yeah. You know, and that's how I explain to other people that come up in here. Because I know that shame that I felt, you know, a feeling like less than. You know, and I always share my story about me and my reading. And it's like many people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous are going back to school and all this kind of stuff. One guy is like, he got the courage, and I mean, he didn't know how to read, period. Now he's reading the 12th edition and all that stuff in the meetings, you know. And it's like, that's what it's all about. One addict helping another. I can't be ashamed of the things that I go through, because this is me. You know, that was me. You know, and by staying here and not picking up, I've gotten better. And I keep on coming back and telling you guys the good news type stuff. You know, so I got through that part, you know, where I started to do that step work, that first step. And I was speaking in Bark Detox. You know, and that's the detox that I went to, you know, a few times. And I went back home, and all I could do is think about, because I know I was getting ready to use again, because the attitude and behavior I see I was doing. And I cannot stay clean because I'm sick as my secret, and that secret was kicking my tail. You know, so I went home and I said, God, I don't know what to do. I gotta tell her, you know. And then I prayed about it, because I've heard everybody say that before you do something, go ahead and pray, you know. And I prayed to my God, you know, to help me, because I thought she was gonna say, I knew it, you know, I knew you wasn't clean. You know, that's why my disease kept on telling me. That's why I was too afraid to tell her, you know. And then I called her up and I said, Elaine, you know what? I really don't have 2 years. I only have 6 months. I have picked up, you know, that shot, and that was it, you know. And she said, good, now you can continue to do the steps. And I was like, nah, man, she must be on the other side laughing at me, saying, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. You know what I mean? And that lady kept on calling me and calling me, you know, to see if I was okay. And I said, please don't tell nobody. You know, don't tell nobody that I don't really have. And then the next day I went to that Monday evening meeting. And then the speaker was there talking. And it was like she was just picking me. I thought that my sponsor had told her something. And I was just sitting there, and just tears down my eyes, and I was just so clogged up with snot. You know, I was like, oh my God. And it was like, I said, you know, I said, I'm not going to say nothing, you know. And it's like after the speaker's finished and stuff like that, you know, and they said, does anybody have, you know, a burning desire? Because she already had spoke through the whole meeting type thing, you know. And I raised my hand, and it wasn't me, you know what I mean? It wasn't me, man. My hands went up, and I said, you know, I know you guys love me and all the kind of stuff, and I was just ashamed, but I really don't have the 2 years off that medallion that I pick up. I really have six months. And they all came to me and hugged me up and called me. My sponsor kept calling me for like weeks, because she knew I was on the edge of that, you know, ready to go. I didn't want to get high, you know, but I kept on. If I held on to it, I knew I would have, because I started hearing the flickering of lighters. And I lived in a solid brick building apartment. And I'm the other apartment, you know, is like way across the field, and I'm here, they're flickering. I know they were getting high. I could hear the doors coming, you know, stuff. I'm telling you, I was like bugged out, you know. And ever since that, man, I've been here, you know, and it did a lot of stuff. Then I start telling people that I didn't know how to read, because it was always fake, and say, you know, I ain't got my glasses. At that time, I wasn't even wearing glasses yet. you know. But those were my excuse, and I start telling them, and then I start reading who was an addict, and it felt like the whole hour reading that, you know. And after I was done, they just start clapping and stuff like that, but I was still not feeling it. You know what I mean? But I kept on trying it and trying it, and, you know, and kept on going. And, you know, through the years, I go bouncing in and out trying to get my GED. And, you know, I went to go take the test one day, and the part that I didn't think I would have passed, I passed the reading, of course. You know, that was in high score. And the rest of them, I was still off. And up till this day, I don't have my GED. The GED that I use for my work, my job, is one that, you know, you did in the home. You know, of course you could cheat. You know, I did that, marked off the questions and sent it back, and I got that. But my job still honored it, you know. And I still never felt good about it. That's why I kept on trying. Because I started allowing this recovery thing to start applying to me. I mean, applying these principles in my life. So the stuff that I used to do, I really can't do anymore. And the longer that I stay clean, I mean, it's like, it just come natural. If I don't work the step will work me, you know. I know that without a doubt. You know, they said don't get in a relationship your first year. It's not in the book or anything like that, but I've seen it, you know, not only in other people but within myself. It took me so many years to like let go that relationship of my daughter's father. And I was telling, you know, Cindy about, you know, I said, man, you know what I said, one of the thing is I believe is that how me and him is hurting ourselves, you know, is because we know it's over. You know, we know it's over, and we're afraid to really let go. You know, even though we have a daughter, we still have something, you know, but still to know the fact that, you know, hasta la vista, baby. You know, it's very hard, you know, but it's getting better through me, you know, being honest with my sponsor, by me, you know, doing my step work, you know, working tradition. That's another thing that's like really awesome, the tradition. You know, I have a love in finding the love that's inside of me. You know, nobody could wipe my behind the way I can. You know, I used to work at the nursing home, and before I really, you know, got into, I cared about what I did, but I know there was some time because I was still getting high. I was not cleaning them people right. And I know what it feels like when I don't clean myself right. It feels like a little razor blade. You know what I mean? So can you imagine those people? So at the same time, I'm the one that can clean my behind the best. You know? So through working the steps and living these principles, you know, it has helped me to be responsible, to be a productive member of society, you know. And that same detox that, you know, I went to over and over is where I work now. I work at BARC Detox in Fort Lauderdale. And I am a BHT, you know. First it was a mentor, then it's a BHT. I just started school. I took a test. You know, because they started something at this university, and I took the test and I passed the test. Doesn't mean that I'm reading that still that well. I mean, I read a lot better, yeah, but as far as the spelling goes, you know, I still spell a lot of words, like I said, but it gets me close enough to look in the dictionary to get the correct thing. And through working steps, by us doing a lot of writing and reading, that helps me a lot in order to upgrade myself. You know, so everything that the Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, what they suggest to do, really works, you know. And when they said about the relationship part, by the way I work on myself, you know, and learning to nurture myself, because you can't do it, you never can satisfy me. You always will shortchange, you know. You will always shortchange me. If you did it right, I'm still going to find something, because of the nature of the disease of addiction. It's always not satisfy. You know, the drug is gone, but that behavior of things is still there. It took me a little while. It took me like almost 2 years to stop having this one trick, because I didn't have the faith in the God that I have today. You know, I was too afraid to let him go. But this is how my God worked things out. The last time I tricked with him, when I was 2 years, you know, clean, he gave me $5. You know, And it was like, let me know. I had to really let go because I was expecting X amount of dollars. You know, I'm clean and you got to pay. And he gave me $5 with a big smile. And I said, And I have not turned back. You know, needless to say that, you know, I found other ways of tricking people out of their money though, you know, without giving it up, you know, because that was me, you know. And it took me a little while to stop these behaviors. And I tell you, even up till now, with almost 14 years clean, the disease of addiction still try to find a way to get it. When it payday come, do you think I want to pay my bill? You know, I'm like, dang, gotta give it up, you know? Sometimes I want to hold on, and so, you know, I shared that a couple of days ago to the clients that, you know, I'm there like holding on to it because I want to just have the feel of just having some money in my bank account, at least for a week. So I drag out paying my light bill or drag out paying my rent. You know, needless to say, there's some things that's getting ready to happen for me. You know, I came in not having a place. I had to even not go to my mother's house. That was another thing. She was a big enabler, you know. So she wasn't giving me no money because she went to Bark's meeting. They told her about how we do about manipulating for money. So it's like when I ask her for money, you know, she'll give me like $5. She wouldn't give me nothing more than $5, man. You know, they messed up my get high money. You know what I mean? And it's like, I started to look at myself, you know, because you have to look at yourself. Got to get honest with self. And I said, you know what? I can't even go back to my mother's house, man. So I took me and my daughters, we went to the Salvation Army, you know? And then a program opened up to where, you know, they have where kids or family and you go to work and you save 75%. The Section 8 opened up for me, you know, and all this stuff was opening up, you know, and everything was always opening up for me when that baby daddy wasn't around, you know. And guess what? When I get everything fixed up, I want to pull back baby daddy, you know, and make all sort of torn, you know, you think Andrew and, you know, all this other stuff tear up something, you know, just getting in that relationship. I lost myself, man. I lost myself in this man, you know. He loved butter pecan ice cream. I made myself like butter pecan. I cannot stand butter pecan ice cream. I'm telling you, I would eat it and be like, you know, I was such a phony. I was such a phony. I didn't know how to be myself, man. You know, I allowed him to mold me in what and who he wanted me to be. Just because I wanted to be loved. Because, you see, I didn't have that first love. Because I wasn't a virgin. So I started settling, man. You know? Anybody tell me that I was beautiful, because I couldn't tell myself I was beautiful. And I always try to go with them nice, hunky looking man that every woman wants and every woman always end up getting, you know, because they were always prettier, skinnier, so I thought, whiter, richer, so I thought, you know, sick draws sick, you know, and those were the things I didn't know. Because anybody that's being with that person that's doing stuff like that to them, they're just as sick, you know, and didn't know any better. You see, came to that one part when a woman that was, you know, in the rooms with me and always hugging me and didn't know that, you know, he had her house keys, you know. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me, you know. Needless to say, she went back out, you know, because she couldn't stay with the guilt. And I sure was like, you know, at first, before I had any acceptance, I was looking her down. Trying to act like, you know, that gangster, like I was going to do something. I know I wasn't going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. I just know that she was intimidated by my looks. So I just did it, you know? That's how I did it. Okay, you're afraid. Mm. You know? I'm telling you. But, you know, I think about her, you know, and I wish... And I hope that she is in the room of NA or AA somewhere, because she needed help like I did. You know, and she just got wrapped up in his manipulation. You know, she just got wrapped up in not loving herself. And that's what I know. You know, and I thank God for her, because I wouldn't have came to this place of finding me. It put me on my knees, man, always praying to that power greater than myself. You know? And it's like a lot of experience and lessons that, you know, that I've went through. You know, I've went through not having a sponsor, just doing the church again and all this kind of stuff. And it took me like 3 years ago that, you know, about 3.5 years ago that I started back with a sponsor, you know, because I came and when it, I guess they said that 10-year part, somewhere along the line, when you're getting in that 10th year, a lot of stuff happened and a lot of people put you on a certain pedestal, let alone myself putting certain expectation on myself that I should have had something, you know, and I was still at the same stuck part with baby daddy, so I didn't feel like I was doing anything, you know, and I was at this place, man, that I just thought that, you know what? Let me just drive my car straight across. My head was telling me that I could keep driving and the car is going to go like this in and out of traffic. Now, I said, you know what? God, forgive me, but I'm going to go back and get a sponsor. You know, I have the Lord in my life, yes, but it was like there was things that kept on coming up that let me feel like less than. And the only ones that knew about stuff like that that could understand was you guys. That I could come home and feel real comfortable. You know? Little by little, yes, the church are coming to believe. You know? And get a better understanding about us. You know? But this is where it's at for me. You know? And I got back that sponsor. And I started working back some steps. And I started feeling free again. You know? And it's like I get involved. I'm at like maybe 6, 7, 8 meetings sometimes a week. I go to the Breakfast Club, awesome meeting in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. You know, before I go to work, I start work at 8:30. You know, and go to that meeting. It's a lot of us with time, newcomers, all that, and you just be on fire. You know, I ain't gonna say that I don't say no to NA. Because there is, by being responsible, you know, I'm not going to stop and to go to a meeting when I already have an engagement that I need to go to. That's what I was taught in here, you know. So my understanding of being responsible is not to stop doing something else just to do the meeting, you know. Regardless, I do a lot of meeting already, you know. I show up. You know, sometimes I might show out and tell you about yourself too, still, okay? But it's in a loving way, because I see how the nature of this disease of addiction can be, you know, how it can trick an individual. It has tricked me so many times believing that I could do one more, you know, one more. And it starts off always with relationships. Always with, you know, the food. Always with going to Walmart's on their sale. I'll tell you one thing, too. How this disease is so cunning, baffling, and patient. At my job, you know, when I went through the last time, they were wearing hospital gowns. So, all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, but they didn't tell me about it. I just came to the job, and everybody was in new pajamas, pants. You know, and shirt, and there was a big guy in it, and it was still loose, and it was nice and bright khaki and yellow. You know, my disease told me, Dawn, you could go get high now, because they got pajamas to fit you. You see how it is? I'm like, dang, what the heck, Becky? It ain't telling me, and it was payday. It was payday that day. It didn't tell me, like, Walmart got a sale. Where I love to go to Walmart's and thrift shops and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I mean, you see how the nature of this disease is? It's okay to go get high. And then they had some new slippers, and of course, you know, he wants me to go steal one. you know, because I was a big thief, man. I could look at you dead in your eye and take off everything off of you and smile with you while you're taking it off, giving it to me, thinking, you know, you're getting it back. You know, I was really very sneaky. You know, and that person is not too far. I see her at times want to come out and destroy, because at times I'm still in a hurt and fetal position of like not wanting to tell you, like, dang, I thought I was okay in this area already. You know, I forget that it's not going to go away. And this is for the rest of my life. You know, most of the time, though, now I really surrender a lot easier. The longer you stay clean, the easier it gets to be, to be able to surrender faster sometimes. It all depends which type of drugs I'm trying to pick up, you know. I'm okay with the relationship things. I'm not going to try to get in no relationship with nobody that's like, don't have the same type of beliefs with me and, you know, don't know how to encourage their own self, because I don't want nobody draining me. I don't want to have to be around with a man that I got to tell him he looks good or, oh, baby, and I don't have that in me. The last one took it all from me, and the rest of my energy goes to me, and I have a daughter, and I have you who wants to stay clean. You know, today I just like, you don't want it? See ya. You know, because this is like life and death, and I cannot waste my time. I didn't like wasting you guys' time with me. You know, I didn't want all of that. I wanted it, but I wasn't getting it, bottom line. So I guess the same way it was given to me, I give back. I do it like a real, I hang for a minute and, you know, it's like I see some people over and over in detox, and it gets sickening sometimes. To see the same people over and over using up the insurance and, you know, not having no type of, you know, hope. It's like the children of Israel just going in a circle over and over and over again, you know, like a dog chasing his tail, all this kind of stuff, you know. And if it hit home to you, good. If it hit home to you, I'm glad. Because now you can get ready and come on our side and start giving back what's so freely given to you. You know, some people, they don't like me because I'm too straightforward. It's all right. See, I was not a person that used to talk up for myself. I was not a person to try to defend anything that was good. You know, and through working some steps, I see the light. I understand today. Like, I was once blind, now I can see, you know, type stuff. You know, my relationship with my higher power is like the main thing. That's the foundation of holding on to this. I have that balance in what I do for my spiritual walk. You know, as far as doing what I do outside of NA and doing my NA stuff. There's a balance today. You know, and I love what's going on with me. It's like every day what I go through, the lessons. Like when I get hard times coming, I say, ooh, 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 something good is coming behind it. You know, as long as I don't pick up, something good always comes out. Because look at me, the person that came in with the third grade reading level, you know, have no type of job skill. I had to also be real honest with myself, because I couldn't go to take no jobs doing no, sales, because I had to lie. I used to work for that bed company, Craftmatic, you know, I had to work for that, and I had to lie to old people to get this money. I'm like, damn, this don't go right. And it seemed like these kind of places was trying to always get addicts into selling. And you know, y'all see people that they sell jobs and they go outside and just puff all that cigarette and stuff like that, you know, car dealers and, it's like dealing drugs. It was just like when I was selling Avon, man. Oh my God. These people owe me money. They'll order stuff and wouldn't want to pay. And they came to that part one day. I said, man, they lucky I ain't got no gun. You know, I felt like a dope dealer selling Avon. I was just pushing the products. Man, you should have seen me in the rooms out there, you know, selling Avon on my job. You know, not doing what I needed to do on my job. So these are things you got to look out for. Are you stealing time? You know, when you're on emails and stuff on your job, that's stealing their time. Okay? It gets really deep when you start working some stuff. It's hard to do some things, you know? And if you're doing it, I know it's going to stop soon because that guilt going to kick your tail. Good. Get busy, you know? But it's one day at a time, you know? One day at a time, team. And then now, what else is happening for me so I can, like, stop up? Oh, Lord. Sorry. I'm going to be a homeowner. You know, I got accepted for a Habitat home. They are building my home. Somebody who, you know, came from Salvation Army, all that kind of stuff, and doing things slowly. I ain't trying to get two jobs to get no darn house. I said I wasn't going to do that. You know, I tried to keep in a relationship, thinking being in that relationship, I was going to get a house. No, my God showed me that I have one job, no man, and I got a house. Go figure. You know, I don't have to worry about coming home to, you know, whatever. You know, I don't want to leave 5 minutes before the miracle. And each day is a miracle. If I would have left 5 minutes before the miracle, I wouldn't have seen this house. I wouldn't see myself that I'm here in school. I passed a test to go to college, so I'm going for my associates. While at the same time, you know, as I get better in my reading and stuff, we have reading, we have tutoring and all this kind of stuff. And somewhere along the line, I could get that GED. Because I want to walk down the aisle. I want to go down. I really want to graduate. That's one of my biggest goals, to go down the thing with the cap and gown, you know, because right here in Narcotics Anonymous say all things are possible. I can do whatever I put my mind to. So the steps help. I cannot believe the things I'm doing. I'm like, who the heck is that? You know, it's like I had this out-of-body experience. So I look at myself and I said, my God, I'm up at night reading, trying to read. I'm really trying to read. I get like short term, now, you know, short in the reading, but it's like, come on, Dawn, just two more lines. And I just do two more lines. Whether I understood what I read or not, I just had to keep on, because this is what the recovery does. You know, whether I understand or not what's going on, I just keep on doing it, because something always ends up turning out for my good, for your good. I ain't sleeping with your man, I ain't robbing you, you know? So it's for your good, you know? I am so grateful, you know? I'm just truly grateful. I'm grateful for Cindy. This is one of my sponsees that, you know, when I told her about this, she said, you know, I'll drive you up because you know how my car is and stuff like that. And, you know, say, then I could spend some time with you, because I'm like all over the place doing different things with my church, with the rooms, with my daughter and, you know, recovery, my job. And sometimes I don't know how I do what I do. You know, but I have fun doing what I do, you know, and I have time for me. When I'm at home, I don't watch TV. I'm careful about, like, what I'm listening to. I don't like to hear those booty music and, you know, what you're going to do to me and, you know, and lose me, because, you know, that's what lost me all the time. What the heck you going to do to me? You know, type stuff. And I don't watch certain TV shows, and because my inside is clean, you know. Most of the time it's clean, and I don't want no corruption coming to it, you know. And when I look at the news, like even yesterday or the day before, I look at the news, it got me all nervous again. I'm like, see, that's why I don't want you, you know. I can't stand it, you know. So I try to just listen to positive things, and, you know, and I love it. And just, you know, so many times I just feel like I'm like floating about, you know. I mean, I love what's going on with me, you know. And if this, what I have about me within the short amount of time that I've been here, and which is just almost 14 years, you know, just imagine another another year. Each year it gets better. And don't listen to that lie that pink cloud goes. Because through the good, the bad, and the indifferent, I still have joy with it. Because I know as long as I don't pick up, it's going to get better, man, for whichever reason. You know, if it's for me one day, it's going to get ready for you, you know. Something that I do is going to, you know, encourage you. I might not be feeling good about myself, but just by me sharing what I share will encourage you, so, you know, even though I might be feeling bad about myself. You know, and that's where it's at, man. I'm truly grateful, and I hope that you guys give yourself a break, get off that roller coaster. You know, if you're on a roller coaster, try to learn to love yourself so you can wipe your own booty alone, you know? Don't wait on nobody to do it, you know? I thank you very much, Yvette. You know, this is like really, really great. And I would like to see you guys come down to Fort Lauderdale one day, too. You know, we have quite a bit of things that go on. And I think that's about it. I went over my time. You know, it's really hard not to, like, they said it's attraction rather than promotion. It's so hard not to promote this thing because it's like, man, you know what the good news is? You don't have to pick up the first one. That's all it is. If you don't pick up the first one, you won't get high. I'm like, dang, that's true. You know, there's everything we talk about, it's true, you know. It takes 5 years to get your head out your butt. Another 5 years to clean off all that doo-doo that you have, like, noticed that you have put yourself to jack yourself up. And then that joy that I'm feeling going towards that 15-year mark is because, you know, I do what I'm told to do. And the main thing is just keep the hope alive. Give back what was so freely given to me, you know. And just get involved, man. Getting involved, just going to meetings, it's good enough for a little while. But just going to meetings isn't enough. Because you're going to start smelling your own self. You know what makes you smell, you know? You can't keep on putting perfumes or nails and hairdos and, you know, the lipstick and the whatever they put in their breasts because they don't have, like, what I got. What is that they can put in there? That silicone? Yeah. You know? This is a real thing. And, you know? Hey, I'm okay with me. I could do that. You know? I don't have... Why do I want somebody else to touch me up like this now? I'm okay touching me. You know, because it's me. It's mine. Okay? Thanks for letting me share. Yay.